Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
The Match Ball.
Hello there, welcome to the show, which is brought to you by Levi Solicitors. 10% off at levisolicitors.co.uk/thesquareball. My name's Dan Moylan. Hello. And I'm joined by Michael Normanson.
Hello.
And Moscow White's here as well. Daniel Chapman.
Hello.
Today we go to Carrow Road on the 30th anniversary of our visit to play Norwich City, but not before we do a little rewind and deal with Barnsley. I can't think of anywhere else I'd rather be in early January than bloody Barnsley, and Wilco didn't want to be there either, did he, in the FA Cup?
This is why we got promoted, to get away from this team in particular, who did the double over us last season, our promotion season, the only team to do it, and nearly derailed the whole thing at Elland Road when Mervyn Day came out like a fucking Mary, to use Howard Wilkinson's term. And yeah, he couldn't really be bothered going back there in the FA Cup, the worst possible draw away from home against a team that's doing well in a lower division and a local rival as well. And it had so much going against it, this match. It was horrible.
And a bit of post-traumatic stress disorder as well from the previous Barnsley defeat of the season before, when it all felt like it had gone wrong.
And David Batty's bad memory in particular of going to Oakwell for our 1-0 defeat, that he forgot his boots, ended up wearing Gary Speed's boots, which were a size too big for him.
Well, what the hell did Gary Speed do? Did he wear his socks?
I mean, David Batty had quite a random old 1989-90. You can kind of understand when you hear these stories in retrospect why Wilkinson went and got Chris Kamara in for the run-in, because we had him forgetting his boots for Barnsley away. You had him giving away a penalty on purpose against Stoke just to piss his dad off, because his dad was annoying him in the stands, telling him to try harder, so he kicked somebody. And then walking off the pitch at Molineux because he needed a shit. So he was...
We've all been there, haven't we, David? And let's quickly run through the teams then for this this away game at Barnsley. Well, the Leeds team anyway. I have no desire to run through the Barnsley team. Kez.
Dickie Bird.
Yeah. All that sort of stuff. For Leeds, John Lukic, Mel Sterling, Glyn Snodding, Chris Fairclough, John McClelland, Strack, Mack, Speedo, Batty, Schutt and Chapman, with Sir Michael Whitlow and John Pearson on the bench. So basically, a full-strength side.
Apart from Chris White being suspended, so McClelland. 35-year-old John McClelland comes in, and Barnsley have had 3 wins and a draw before this game, and they're talking about Mel Machin's, their manager, says no team can relish coming to Oakwell just now. There will be a big crowd and a great atmosphere. It's a fantastic draw. Something special.
That's a good accent, that Mel Machin. 22,500 there, by the way.
I mean, it didn't look special.
Wilco didn't want to be there. We didn't want to be there. What an awful game as well.
Muddy pitch, gale force wind. There's on the limited footage available, you do see John Lukic, who has a good strong kick. We play in the first half with the sun in our eyes, or in Lukic's eyes in particular, and kicking against the wind, and he can't get the ball over halfway, which I think tells you a lot about what sort of match it was.
I can't envisage, and it must have happened, I can't envisage John Lukic in a baseball cap.
I think it's because his hair is so much part of him.
Is it his hair resembles a baseball cap?
Maybe his fringe always just dealt with the sun and the shade, but obviously not at Ibrox in a couple of years. But yeah, Lukic was actually brilliant in this match, keeping us in it against our lively, what do we call them? We're not cousins, relations. What is our relationship to fucking Barnsley?
They used to be in the West Riding, the historic West Riding incorporated Barnsley.
Did it?
It did, yeah. The West, there was no such thing as South Yorkshire. There were three. There was
fair enough.
The West, the East and the North. That's all they had. They had no South Riding. That was not a thing.
But we saw it through. We were getting there. McAllister at the post. In the second half, we got better because we had the wind behind us. And then a Glyn Snodding in-swinging corner headed in by Mel Sterling yet again with only 8 minutes to go, and you'd think that's probably that. However, Barnsley cheated.
Doesn't come as a surprise. What did they do?
The bass player of Queen handballed it. It's the man, isn't it?
That's John Deacon.
John Deacon? No.
Another one for the kids there.
Handball kind of undersells it.
And not for the first time are they punching the ball around, the cheating volleyballing bastards.
It's a good finish. Give him credit for the finish.
In fairness, the only reason he got that finish is because the pitch is so bloody heavy that the ball just stopped dead when it came off the whatever it is. That was the volleyball move. Is it a spike? It was practically spiked, didn't it?
I think
he?
A spike is it up in the air?
This is it a one bump, is a bump. Kind of, is it a bump or a spike? Whatever, I don't care. He cheated.
It basically jumped in the air as the ball is going into our penalty area, and the Barnsley player has, with both hands, sort of punched the ball down volleyball style so that John Ian Dean can volley it in, which isn't fair.
Even on the incredibly low resolution footage, it is clear it's handball. Yeah. There's really no excuse for this not to have been spotted.
For the second, Andy Saville was the player who punched
second,
it down.
Second time in the game, though, Andy Rammel in the first half punched it in. I mean, and again, you talk about low res footage. Quite clearly, that's his hand.
And that did get ruled out. But I think one of the big things about this was that the referee is George Courtney, who is England's official at the World Cups. So he was a bastard. The best referee, and he's asked after the game what it was all about, and he says there was no handball, in my opinion. Which Mel Stirland puts the other view that to be honest, the lad almost caught the ball. I just could not believe it, but the ref said he didn't see it.
George Courtney, he was never liked at Elland Road. George Courtney.
Well, we'll come to the replay in a moment, but the other side of this was that the newspapers didn't like the way that the Leeds fans reacted to George Courtney. He was booed off, and booing a referee.
That's not the dumb thing.
Was this the first time it had ever happened?
I believe so. The first time since Leeds fans attacked the referee in 1972, Ray Tinkler.
Which was also deserved.
Yes, exactly. Mob rule was the headline, but...
And we're right behind it.
Mel Machin, who was talking Barnsley up before the game in the first place...
What did he say? Leeds couldn't have complained if we'd won bit 3 or 4.
So we can forget about the handball. And the replay was only a few days later, and it all kind of ramped up for this, because it's a weird quirk of the FA Cup at this time that you keep the same referee for the replay. So it's George Courtney again, and Barnsley do even more talking in the press. And Strachan said this after the game, but it's worth mentioning it beforehand, that some of the comments from the Barnsley fans, he said Leeds felt they were getting a little bit too big for the boots. And when the match kicked off in a wind-damaged Elland Road, I quite like the detail that they'd, from the weekend, they'd had time to repair the Lowfields roof, but not the northeast corner. So they weren't selling tickets for the northeast corner. But if you already had a ticket to go in there, fine. Take your seats, not a problem.
And this is before they discovered all the asbestos as well.
I was going to say, I think it's fine. If you bought a ticket when it was safe, I think it remains safe. That's the way it works, isn't it, with falling debris?
But the way Leeds go for Barnsley right from the start, you can see they've had it fucking enough of them.
Yeah, absolutely fair point. They're not into that trash talking, are they? That's a purposeful performance.
The first 5 minutes, I mean 6 minutes, were 2-0 up, and it's come from two corners, essentially, that Leeds... In the first minute of a game, for the first one, you think, the ball goes out of play, a Barnsley player boots it out, they misplace the back pass by about 25 yards. And you think, okay, right, everybody lumber up. Leeds are all sprinting into the penalty area. Snowden and Strachan are running to the corner with the ball.
It's mad, is that? That corner at the start, you'd think it was the last minute and we were losing.
Yeah, that's how much we'd had enough of Barnsley. And it's a great finish from Barnsley, which helps.
Marky Smith, I mean, John Deacon scored in the first game.
And it does that pleasing thing where it kind of goes into the roof of the net by the stanchion in the corner, but then comes back out again, and no one's quite sure what's happened, but it's definitely a goal. And obviously these days, VAR goal line technology would take care of it, unless it was trying to keep Aston Villa in the Premier League or whatever.
Yeah, the corner goes to the back post, and it's sort of flicked on by their 5'9" goalkeeper.
He looks so much like a Sunday League goalkeeper in the footage of this. I can't stress it enough, because he looks very obviously too small, and he's slightly balding and a bit out of shape. And it does look like...
Well, he's got no number one on his back either. He's just got a generic green shirt on.
I think he had a one and it's faded off. Right. That's how the chip shop this whole operation was. But it's a great Sunday League occasion at the back post as well.
The poverty in Barnsley.
Because after he's sort of flicked the corner on, that goes to the back post, and Mark Smith comes in, and he's trying to head it over the bar, but as he would get in a non-league, he heads it about 3 yards under it into the roof of the net off his mate's head.
There's an enjoyable amount of needle in this game. You can detect it throughout the game in the way that there's that edge, there's that bitchiness, and you see it in the second goal as well when Chappie scores after 6 minutes, that he goes straight for Carl Tyler afterwards, the centre half for Barnsley.
And a classic Chapman goal. I don't feel nodding it into an almost empty net at the back post
from a yard out
gets any more Chapman. It's just a very, I don't know, it's the most Lee Chapman goal we might have seen this season.
But the build up to it is similar to the first. Carl Schutz got the ball on the left wing and it goes out for a corner, and he immediately just gets the ball, runs to the corner flag and passes it to the nearest Leeds player, and then they pass it, I think, to Strachan inside the penalty area, and we're off before Barnsley have even know what's happening. So we're 5 minutes in, taking a quick corner, it goes back to Schutz and it's a great cross, takes out their tiny keeper, and yeah, Chapman after heading it in. Carl Tyler, who is their Barnsley's young £1 million rated defender, being linked with moves to big clubs, that had things to say in the press about how, you know, Chapman wasn't going to give him any problems. And it's funny, Chapman sometimes, although he's great going straight to where the ball was, orientating himself sometimes in other situations difficult, and he does a full 360 in the penalty area looking for Carl Tyler. Where is he? Where the fuck is he? And he walks over with his finger wagging it in his face.
That classic oil tanker turning circle. It's brilliant.
But it does show, I mean, this, we've talked in the last few games before the Liverpool one about Leeds and how they start games and they want to be 2-0 up and 3-0 up as quickly as possible. I've never seen them start a game as aggressively as this. As soon as we're 2-0 up, McAllister goes close, it's straight back on the attack looking for 3-0. It's completely exhilarating.
Chapman should score again as well for a very similar chance where you can't believe he's missed it, really, can you? When it goes, there's another one that's just dropped onto his head at the back post. A slightly harder chance, a bit further out, a few more players in the way, but still, I think 9 times out of 10 he'd score that.
When you see that angle from behind the goal and you're going, bloody hell, Chapman, all you need to do is just nod it into that space that you've done a thousand times. But you're absolutely right. I think what's interesting with this Moscow is this, the clear evolution from when we played Barnsley pre-promotion, which is obviously only, what, April prior to this, something like that?
Yeah, 9 months.
How we choked under the lights at Elland Road, and that dark blue satanic kit, and it just all felt wrong that night. On this night, they're in red. They're not in the dark blue satanic kit. And we absolutely swept him away. The purpose with which, like we see Batty and McAllister, the rain absolutely lashing down. They're not bothered. They're into this.
And John McClelland is not in the mood to let anyone score.
Was this a foul? I mean, I can't make my mind up on this. Obviously, the footage is standard definition, you know, 1991 era TV coverage. So it's not completely possible to tell. But I think with this, that as it's given as a free kick, and John McClelland gets a yellow card because Andy Rammel's clean through on goal to all intents and purposes, in the edge of the area kind of vibes, and goes down under, is it a tackle or not? Because I thought bloody hell, that's got to be a red card. But actually on second, third, fourth viewing, it looks like Rammel catches his own legs.
We get embroiled after the first one where it was mob rule against George Courtney, and obviously he's back again, our finest referee. We kind of involve ourselves in one of the big controversies of the season here, because before the season started, as part of the efforts to jazz up football and make it more exciting, before anything like a Premier League or a USA World Cup happens, and after everybody's happy about Italia 90, despite it being quite a negative tournament in a lot of ways, professional fouls will now be punished with a red card. So if you're through on goal, and the classic one, if everyone's not familiar with the evolution of the professional foul, the 1980 FA Cup final when 17-year-old, or I think he was 17 or 16, Paul Allen for West Ham is through to score what would have been West Ham's second in the final final minute.
So cynical.
So it's purely just to kind of round off a win. And he was the youngest player ever to play in an FA Cup final up to that point. He's through on goal, he's ready to shoot. And Willie Young of Arsenal just takes his legs out. He's interviewed about it later and he said, I didn't even kick him hard. I just kicked him hard enough to go down because I wasn't going to let him score. Keep us in the game. We still had a chance. And that again got topped off with because he's only a lad, when he goes up to get his winner's medal, he's sobbing from the depth of absolute despair because he's had a Roy of the Rovers moment at Wembley stolen away from him. And there's been 35 players so far this season have been sent off for professional fouls. So now defenders are basically saying, whoa, 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 you can't keep sending us off just for bringing down people when they're going to score. This is part of defending. But that's been what's happening. And so Barnsley, absolutely furious that in this situation, when Andy Rammel is cleaned through and he's about to shoot at John Lukic and John McClelland is there and Andy Rammel ends up on the floor, how come George Courtney has then only produced a yellow card?
In Barnsley, I imagine this is still talked about, like the Ronald Koeman on David Platt one.
Did you see that when Rammel went through?
Absolute disgrace. We'd have won it that night and FA Cup if we'd only got that decision with George Courtney, Ellen Road.
And that John, whatever he was called, which they have Garth Crooks on Sports Night discussing this with Steve Baker, isn't it? And they're, you know, watching it frame by frame, and Steve Baker says,
Steve Ryder.
Steve Ryder.
If you're going to criticize a man for getting names wrong,
Dick.
Don't get his name wrong.
I'm getting confused because Steve Baker was the education secretary at the time. We used to have Baker days at school when it was a teacher training day. So he wasn't involved. And Garth Crooks, however, is highly confused, almost as confused as me, because he's convinced the tackle is by Ian McKellen, which it's not. There was no acting involved apart from the dive from Andy Rammell. McClellan's...
Gandalf.
McClellan's justification or his reasoning. He said he was worried that he was going to be sent off just because of the way things were. But he also said that he didn't deliberately take him down. He said Rammell slowed down, broke stride, and he basically ran into the back of him. They collided. So that didn't try to foul him. And you can sort of see on the footage, McClelland.
Gandalf, yeah.
Has got his arms outstretched as Andy Rammell's going
as
to the ground.
As if holding a staff.
As if he's saying...
Casting a spell.
I haven't even touched him. And George Courtney comes up with a... He didn't exactly help matters with his rationale, because he said that he got a yellow card for ungentlemanly conduct as opposed to serious foul play. But under the rules, if it was ungentlemanly conduct, that means it wasn't a foul. So he's given a foul, then booked him for something else that it wasn't.
It's a standard cop out because he didn't want to send him off. It's about the size of it.
He does stand up to Barnsley, though. Barnsley's defence are absolutely whinging on about this.
We're livid, we are. Oh, we're bloody right upset.
In Mel Machin in his flat cap.
And, he is as well, yeah.
George Courtney ends up going over to the dugout and kind of crouching on the edge of it while they're sitting down and pointing at them all. And you can just about hear him saying, look, any more of this and you'll be out the game.
And George Courtney, he was a schoolmaster, wasn't he? He was a teacher. So you can see that kind of finger wagging, telling off a naughty boy.
It helps Leeds are kind of, although they're in control because they've got those two early goals, Barnsley have, you know, they've established themselves in the game. They've not been blown away. And it does kind of lift the atmosphere a little bit. You can hear the Barnsley fans booing as loudly as they possibly can. The Leeds fans with the Barnsley wank, 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 which you don't hear as much as Manchester wank, 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 but it's good to hear.
It doesn't really scan, does it, Barnsley?
Barnsley, wank, 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 mm. Barnsley, wank, wank, wank. You know, you do whatever you can.
And another wizard comes on. Hey, wizard, Gandalf. Mike Whitlow is on and is the obvious catalyst for getting this game finished and put to bed so we can play Arsenal in the fourth round.
Yeah, it stays 2-0 until the last 10 minutes. And then, yeah, Whitlow and John Pearson both come on and we get another couple of goals.
Third one is in the 84th minute. I mean, what a ball from Batty. This is that reverse, kind of reverse pass into the channel and Snodding slides to keep it in play. Chaos ensues, doesn't it? And then McAllister just slots it in from close range on his left-hand side, maybe about, what, 6-7 yards out, something like that. Very nice.
Good finish.
And then Batty's nearly in there for the second one. 2 minutes later from a corner. It's
the corner.
The corner. We saw it. I think it was Everton that they attempted this, where it's Strachan takes a short corner to McAllister and he tries to backheel it to Strachan. And again, it's not quite come off. It deflects off a Barnsley player, but Strachan gets it anyway. And into the same place where Snodden kept the ball in, put the ball into the penalty area. And it's this time it's a Snodden shot that gets cleared off lane, comes to Batty. So close. He shoots, saved. It's a really good save. And then Batty's then got the ball back at his feet and runs into the penalty area. And
he's sort of going, he's almost going towards the byline, isn't he? Towards touch. He's not really in a dangerous position. He's being sort of shepherded out on the right hand side.
He's being pulled back.
Serious
foul play, this one.
Penalty.
Which
the linesman gives this. Actually, what you don't tend to see is back in this era, you never saw a lot of penalties given by linesmen.
They knew the place in those days, didn't they? They weren't assistants. Yeah. They were there to run the line. Do offsides.
Has the ball gone out? Are you onside at the end?
Give throw-ins.
I think this is this is one that probably only the linesman would spot, because Batty, instead of going down under the challenge, stands up and tries to knock the Barnsley player over instead, which seems to be his attitude. And there's big chance for David Batty to take this penalty.
Batty. Didn't happen though, did it?
Strachan, I love when he scores penalties like these.
It's a short run-up.
Just puts it on the spot, stands up, kick.
Twats it dead hard, doesn't he?
You can tell the keeper, who admittedly at this point is probably looking forward to a pint because he's a proper non-leaguer, probably had a cig at half-time. But yeah, he's one of those, I think he probably takes him slightly by surprise. But yeah. It's a nice It's a nice final fuck off to Barnsley.
It's taken really well. He takes about one short step and then rifles it into the to the bottom left hand corner, the keeper's bottom right.
He did it against Leicester last season and they weren't happy about it because they felt he was cheating. But he was the only one against Leicester last year that had noticed the referee had blown his whistle. And before he would kind of, and then he pretended to move the ball as if he was re-spotting it while looking at the referee going, I can take this, can't I? And the referee's like, yeah. So he kind of moved the ball. And then as he stood up without taking any steps back, just put his foot through it and put it into the net. This isn't quite as tricksy as that one, but it is worth, like, it does just go back to what you said, Tim, after the game that we quoted at the start, that Leeds just felt Barnsley getting a little bit too big for the boots and went at them in the first 5 minutes, took the piss for the rest of the game. See you, Barnsley.
To Arsenal.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
But before we get on to the next round of the FA Cup, we have the league to deal with, and we have to deal with the league today at Carrow Road. And we want to get back to winning ways, having lost 3-0 on New Year's Day to Liverpool at Anfield. Never mind pathetic little Barnsley in the FA Cup. It's time to sweep aside some canaries now. Never mind coal miners. Let's get a canary. Do you like that?
Very good. Very
good. Thank
you.
Thank you. Yeah. Anyway. Oh, well, should we go through this? Let's go through the team anyway. Lukic in goal. Sterland, Glyn Snodden. We've got the Chrises at the back. Fairclough and White. Strachan McAllister, Sir Michael Whitlow, and David Batty in this side with Carl Schutt and Lee Chapman up front with Gary Speed benched alongside John Pearson. So a change in the starting lineup.
Yeah, and Chris White's back in for John McClelland after White was suspended for two. And Wilkinson said before the game that we'd had a draw and a win in the Cup since the defeat at Liverpool. Now it's important for us to get a good league result at Norwich. And clearly integral to that is bombing Gary Speed out the team and getting a proper left-sided midfielder in there like Michael Whitlow.
Well, we saw Whitlow. He was on for, 10 minutes against Barnsley? 2 goals. So did we win this 18-0?
Well, let's go through the Norwich side before we do get to the game, because this is possibly the most Norwich lineup you're ever likely to hear in your life. Brian Gunn in goal, then they've got a lineup of John Paulston, Ian Butterworth, Ian Culverhouse, Mark Bowen, Ian Crook, David Phillips, Tim Sherwood, Jeremy Goss, Robert Fleck and Dale Gordon. I mean, a good 7 of those players could all be the same person.
I must admit, between Butterworth and Culverhouse and Crook, I have no idea. I vaguely remember the stickers. Although I would say that I feel like Tim Sherwood should be playing for Blackburn and Dale Gordon should be at Palace.
It's missing a couple of crucial ones as well. There's no Rule Fox, who is always associated with Norwich at all times. And also their boss, Dave Stringer, has dropped the very Norwich striker, unless you prefer his Coventry work, Robert Rosario.
But why? Why has he dropped him?
His attitude problem.
Stinks, doesn't it?
Said he's not looked as sharp as he should, and I think it's time for him to go out of the side. So Robert Fleck, whose attitude after playing for Norwich at Elland Road earlier in the season was that he wanted to play for Leeds as soon as possible, he starts. And as well as Rosario being out for his attitude, this also means there's 5 in Norwich's midfield, which...
4-5-1, that's not the very English way to do things, is it?
And presumably that's the reason that Tim Sherwood is wearing number 9.
Yep, and scoring, which is upsetting especially when you look at his sticker from this season with his...
He's got Todd Cantwell's hair, actually, there.
There's something about that sticker that looks very 1950s. It's got a kind of an airbrushed cigarette card, half-colourised vibe to it.
You'd never get away with that hair in the 1950s, though. He's brill-creamed it, but not tight.
That's true.
It's way too loose. It's on the verge of, especially the sides, because the sides are long. So it's a long back and sides, greased back, and
it lacks a shoelace, a Cantwell style shoelace.
He looks like an arrogant young man, and his fucking goal celebration is that of a arrogant young man as well.
They beat us, and I didn't like it. We should have beaten them. They were rubbish.
I mean, the opening goal, Jeremy Goss just running down the left and then passing into a very empty space. It's a good finish by Sherwood across the goalkeeper from 25 yards, but the goal should have been ruled out for him running around afterwards. He's sort of swinging his arm around like he's swinging a bowling ball on a 360 degrees angle at the shoulder like this, and then points at people and starts running about.
He dance as well,
puts on
it?
A gilet.
Yeah, I just don't like him.
Should Lukic do better on this? I know you're saying it's a good hit, but it's not. He doesn't strike it that cleanly, and it's from a fair distance out. I don't know, it feels a bit like Lukic is wrong-footed by it to an extent because it goes back across him.
And certainly the second goal in the second half, it's Dale Gordon. But this is one Lukic comes for a cross and then goes away again.
A bit like a fucking Mary, actually, if we're going to go back to the Barnsley.
We may as well have just played Mervyn Day. And he gets caught absolutely nowhere. So Dale Gordon is essentially shooting into an empty net once the ball stopped bouncing about. So I don't think... Lukic may be distracted because to get around the kit clashes, he's wearing the blue version of the Hampton Umbro goalkeeper template. Always, usually would be wearing green, but he cracked out the blue one for this one, which is a beautiful shirt, blue with yellow and grey panels on the sleeves.
That was the one I always liked that one. I think it was a good alternative choice to the traditional green one. Yeah,
that's where you and Lukic differ. It's improvement on when we used to have the red version of it. It used to be the change one that I think. If Neil Edwards used to wear that on the squad photographs, but I don't think he ever wore it in the team.
Yeah, silver and purple was always my favourite Umbro combination, but it was the lesser seen of the keepers' kits because, well, keepers wore green, didn't they? Just actually speaking of the Norwich kit, this is the early Asics era, isn't it, before they got their hands on us and their kit. Massive, big fuck-off Asics across the middle to remind you that it was made by Asics, but no like manufacturer sponsor that's in evidence. It's just taken the place of the whole lot. It's like when we had Admiral Sportswear almost, but without that little logo.
Should have gone with Moscow's preferred option for Reebok kits, which is to have Asics, Asics, Asics written all over it. Different logos.
That's
different...
what they did that at Bolton, didn't they?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's I used to love these kits, and I think I got this one as a Sabutio team because I liked the Norwich kit so much. And then afterwards, the first Premier League season, I think it was, when they replaced it with the kind of the flecked one that Norwich fans now regard as
the vomity
classic.
Kind of.
Yeah, yeah. I got that as well. I wasn't as familiar with them, with their players, and certainly it was before Jeremy Goss cracked in that volley in 94. But that's a long way ahead at the moment. We've got Leeds essentially playing well in this one, a little bit untidy at the back. Fairclough has to block a shot. Lukic goes running out of his goal to head something clear, and they end up shooting it, and Fairclough blocks it on the line. Sterling plays well, lots of crosses, but Chapman and Shutt up against Brian Gunn in Norwich's goal, who were father of Angus Gunn, not Kinnear.
He was their keeper forever, wasn't he?
Yeah, and at this point, I think he's got kind of long swept back hair as well. I think these guys regarded themselves as the darlings of East Anglia. So we couldn't get past them. Strachan hits the post late on, but it's all a bit difficult, and Norwich packing the midfield and playing five against us, maybe that's how you stop Leeds' first choice midfield of Strachan, Batty, McAllister and Whitlow.
You wonder whether we were looking a little bit tired because we'd obviously played midweek as well, the Barnsley game that we just did.
And that was straight after Barnsley at the weekend, and heavy pitches as well, like torrential rain through both of those matches. Well, torrential rain in the second one, it had finished before kickoff in the away match, but the pitch was fucked. It was just mud.
It's to be hoped that Arsenal game doesn't go to a replay, isn't it?
Well, at least don't have that till the end of the month. The other main concern we have here is the bloody what's it's back on the agenda, isn't it? We've got the League Cup before that because we've got the fifth round against Aston Villa at home midweek again before we then face Luton in the league. So these fixtures starting to pile up just a little bit.
Yeah, and then very quickly after Luton in the league, it's Derby County in the Zenith Data Systems round three of the Northern area. So that's to deal with as well before we even get to playing Arsenal in the FA Cup. But Wilco's quite magnanimous about it. He says that after losing a game, after a game like that, you just have to suck the lemon and get on with it when the next game comes along.
Which was Villa. And so to the league table then, Arsenal pushing out in front on 50 points from their 22 games, with Liverpool just a point behind them, and then Palace on 45, us on 39. So we've got a 6-point gap there just starting to open up, and Manchester United draw level on points with those 39 as well, but then 5 points down to sixth with Spurs in sixth position. Just looking at some of the other results from this weekend, we got Villa and Liverpool 0-0.
Makes it maybe tough for our Rumbelows Cup quarterfinal in midweek if Villa are in the kind of form that can hold Liverpool.
Spurs and Arsenal, North London derby finishes 0-0. Man United beat Sunderland 3-0. Another one of those renegade scores though. Luton 3, Southampton 4. What a match that was.
If I could tell you anything about it, I would.
Come on, you must know something. Go on, Google something quick.
Two Rod Wallace goals, either side of two Matt Le Tissier goals that I would predict were set up by Rod Wallace. No evidence of that. Alan Shearer on the pitch did nothing. So I think if we're looking for a forward, maybe that Rodney Wallace is worth a look. His brother done all right, scum.
Is Wilco a fraud, do you reckon? Being found out in this league?
Bah, busted flush, isn't he? He's blown a gasket.
Fourth should be top two at minimum.
And he's tinkering as well. I mean, I'd hate to argue with him that Whitlow is not a better option than Gary Speed in our midfield, but it does seem that going up against five in the Norwich midfield has somewhat restricted our ability to play our own football at Carrow Road.
But plenty of comfort can be taken from the fact that we possibly didn't deserve to lose this one. But as Wilco said, you suck the lemon, you crack on, don't you?
When life gives you lemons,
suck them.
That's what they say. Always one for the soundbite.
And so back to Elland Road, where we'll hopefully get back to winning ways against Angus Kinnear's Luton Town on the 19th of January. We'll speak to you then.
The Match Ball.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.